Scripture reading for this morning hour's worship service we can find in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over and against the other, to the end that a man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldst take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands, who pleaseth God. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Thus far, God's holy and everlasting word. My dear congregation, the subject of study that we take up this morning is a challenging one, to say the least, the Christian and digital technology. Not because Scripture doesn't have anything to say about it principally. I hope that we come to see this morning that indeed Scripture does have something to say, much to say about these matters as well. But because the challenges that we do face in the 21st century and the issues surrounding this particular subject area are really relatively new on the scale of world history. Considering, for example, that electricity that are used to power the devices that we use so commonly only became widely used a little over 100 years ago. In fact, the face of media and technology is changing ever so quickly. All of us know that when we go to buy a computer or when we go to buy a handheld device, we almost feel forced, don't we, sometimes to buy the latest and the greatest, because we know that the next week that we have it, there's something new and it's almost getting outdated already in just a very short period of time. So it's an ever-fluctuating situation. Many of our grandparents and certainly our great-grandparents would have seen a title like this in the church bulletin when they walked into church. They would have said, well, what does the word media mean? What does the word technology mean? What does the word digital even mean? These are new words that we use today that weren't used by former generations. So it's challenging because it's relatively new. And then also it's an ever-changing challenge that we face. Indeed, we use words today like iPods and internet and iPads and gaming devices and DVDs, words that 25 years ago were foreign to the ear, and likely in another 25 years we'll be saying things like, well, remember that $450 iPad that Dad bought me or I was given as a gift? Well, that was the age of the dinosaurs, and now we have... And you fill in the blank. What is to come, congregation? No one at all knows. Only the Lord knows. But despite all these things ever changing and ever fluctuating, the Lord never, ever changes. And His Word is constant from generation to generation. And He has set down, dear congregation, timeless principles in His Word that we can use and we can look to and that can assist us to navigate the ever-changing tides that we find ourselves caught up in this world of technology. Many years ago, the wise Solomon, he looked around himself. And he also could have been speaking prophetically when he said these words, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." These words, congregation, from chapter 7 and verse 29 of the book of Ecclesiastes will serve this morning hour as a doorway into this study today that we want to consider under this theme, the Christian and digital technology. And I want to consider with you in a practical way three basic areas of consideration. First of all, identifying the challenging situation that we find ourselves in. Secondly, considering the very real dangers, that is, accompanying these matters, and thirdly, proposing scriptural solutions. So the Christian and digital technology, identifying the challenging situation, considering the real dangers, and proposing scriptural solutions. We read together, congregation, from the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes, of course, was written by King Solomon, a man who indeed was given wisdom by God, but a man also who indeed had seen it all and had done it all and had tried it all. And in the process of doing all those things, he had come to see the emptiness of life without God. In fact, in the first few chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, particularly chapter 2, we read indeed that Solomon was at one point in his life, it appears, most historians agree, at the earlier part of his life, he was looking for happiness and joy and a place of comfort as he would retain wisdom. And he did many things and he looked many places. And he says in chapter 2, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. And I made me great works. He says, I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle, of all that were in and above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. And so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And then I looked on all the works my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon, by the enlightening grace of God, congregation, had the latest and the greatest of his day. And he had come to see the emptiness, the vanity of it. That's the word, what the word vanity means. And he says here again in Ecclesiastes 7, lo, this I have found, God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And certainly, dear congregation, if that was true in Solomon's day, it is true still in our day as well. God is upright, and God has made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions in our fallen nature as well. And many inventions we have sought out to assist us in our sin nature. The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah that our heart is like an open well, a well that has no bottom. It is filled with iniquity. Who can know it? And the sad and real truth is that we use many inventions to further our sinful cause and our sinful ways. Now, before we go any further today, I also want to clarify that the word inventions as we understand that word today, are not sinful in and of themselves. Because it is the Lord, isn't it, who gave us the minds to develop things with our hands. He gave us the ability to reason so that we could engage in labor, so that we could engage in inventions as well. In fact, we are told very clearly in the Scripture that God put Adam and Eve in the garden of paradise, in the garden of Eden. And they were told to dress and to keep the garden, to dress and to keep that part of their world that they were set in Genesis 2 and verse 15. And the word dress there is actually a very, very unique word in the Hebrew language. It means to work or to cultivate. And many indeed see, and rightly so I believe, in that word, the whole idea to develop in that word. In other words, they weren't called to keep it in its original form, but they were called to cultivate things, to develop things, as they were called to keep it and preserve it in that original mandate. That was before, of course, sin came into the world. And indeed, we have seen many, even post-fall, many great developments in history. Think of the Industrial Revolution. Think of industry. We've mechanized so many things, haven't we? God has given mankind wisdom and understanding to reason and to figure out and to detail out and to blueprint and to put into action those many intricate blueprints, and we've mechanized so many things in this world. There's great developments in travel, automobiles and airplanes that when used in a proper and a scriptural way can be very helpful to us. Who would have thought that many, many years ago that you could sit in a vehicle 18 inches above the ground and you could drive along at 65 miles an hour and go from this destination to that destination and back and do it your whole lifetime and be preserved. These are great developments in technology as well, in industry. And these, when used properly, have been helpful to the entire population, non-Christians and Christians alike. And mostly we see these developments as a positive thing, don't we? The only exception, I suppose, would indeed be the Amish, who wouldn't see the development of these things as in the positive light. They would see it more of a negative regression. But also in the area of media and technology. I fully agree, dear congregation, with the title of Dr. David Murray's DVD that he has put out called God's Technology. He's a professor, of course, at our seminary, and he has a wonderful DVD that is available to really flesh all this out. And I would highly recommend you, especially with young children, to either get this DVD or go online to download this and to watch it prayerfully with your families. And it's titled God's Technology because it is God who gave us the things to develop this technology. It is God in God's earth who gave us the bauxite that we could make aluminum that we have in so many of these devices. It is God who gives the copper in the earth to make the wires. It is God who gives the rubber trees that coat the wires that we have in each computer and each device. It is God who gives us the ability to assemble this microchip technology. It is God's technology. And therefore, we are called to use these things biblically and not abuse them in a sinful, careless, thoughtless, self-promoting manner. God has given these things in His providence to us. But we, with our sinful hearts, misuse so much of what God has given. Now, I hardly need to tell you, dear congregation, that we live, of course, in a media-saturated, technologically advanced generation. And just to give you a brief thumbnail view of it, actually fairly recently, less than 100 years ago, in the 1920s and 1930s, the telephone that we take so for granted, that we carry around even today in our pockets, it was then that became popularized. It was around a little earlier than that, but it became popular in the 20s and 30s. And after World War II in the 40s and 50s, TV became part of most North American households. In 1979, the cell phone broke out in the field and became hugely popularized, of course. And then Internet. Internet's been around for actually quite a while, since the 60s, but it really only became part of households in the early 90s. Only about 20 years ago. And then you add to that all the iPods for music, all the iPads and the tablets and the iPhones and the streaming videos, and you throw in the gaming consoles. And today, of course, we have devices that are so small that consolidate all these things in one. You can get the web, and you can get your computer, and you can get a phone, and you can get a gaming device, and you can get something to watch movies, and you can have all these things in one device, and you can just slip it in your pocket, and you can walk around, and you have it all in one hand. And when you survey all these things, congregation, sometimes it's hard to describe it. You look at all these things and may tend to think of it, as sometimes I do, as a rather unholy stew. And how do you pick through it all? How do you figure what's good and what's not? And if we really think that these things are just a fad and really not a big deal, just listen to these statistics. It took some 38 years for radio to reach 50 million users. It took TV 13 years to reach 50 million users. It took the Internet 4 years to reach 50 million users. The iPad, it took 3 years. And it took less than 1 year for Facebook to reach 200 million users. And I remind you that we only have 300 million people living in the United States of America alone. And as it stands today, social media, Facebook is just one form of that, is the number one activity on the web. And it's not just the younger generation. The fastest growing segment of the population to use Facebook, for example, is women between the ages of 35 and 65 years old. And so, congregation, we may look at these things and we may be shocked. And we may be stunned in certain ways. But let us remember this. The Lord is not surprised at all, or even shocked. He's grieved, of course, when these devices are used in ways that cast a shadow of question upon His kingdom and are used in sinful ways and are used to assist us in sinful practices. But long before this technology generation hit our shores and hit America and has become just part of our lives, God knew it was coming, and God knows what's coming next. He's not sitting in heaven, wringing His hands, saying, "How did we ever get here?" God is still in control. God knows what's going on. And therefore, He has given us His Word that He knows and that we understand as well. His Word that is timeless to the generations. His Word that gives us principles and warnings and positive guidelines and guidance to combat not only issues back in Abraham's day and in Jesus' day, but in our day as well. Because of our sinful nature, congregation, that we have within us, even in Christians' hearts, we misuse so much of the technology that has been given to us in God's providence. And our first tendency sometimes when we think of these things is to reason like this. Well, if we misuse it so much, then let's not use it at all. And of course, for the most part, that's the position that the Amish and Mennonites, the old order ones, have taken. And that indeed may sound good, but it has dangers in it as well, because in the real world in which we live and interact, that's full of technology and media, we come face to face with it all the time. And so that approach of not having anything to do with it at all only works. It does work only if your future has nothing to do with digital technology. If you and your children and your grandchildren will never interact with these things, well, then don't be part of it at all. But we need to educate our children, if we're going to use these things at all, how to use this technology wisely and biblically, so that when they are engaged in the culture, they will be properly equipped and not ill-equipped. Now, we cannot say, dear congregation, that because God has given us this technology, because God has given us all the original parts, and we can put a label, a general label on it, God's technology, we cannot just say, well, here it is, no rules at all. That would be foolish. We need to engage in, and here I borrow a term from Dr. Murray as well, we need to engage in disciplined discernment as we use these things. And why? Why do we need to do that? Well, let me just give you two basic reasons why. Number one is the time-wasting element that so many of these devices can be associated with. Whether that's sitting on the phone for hours, on the telephone, talking drivel, or worse, gossip, or hours behind Facebook, or watching pointless movies, or immoral TV programming, or hours of gaming, or surfing the internet for no reason at all, just as some say, to kill some time. Paul, he tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 16 that we are to be redeeming. That word means making the best of the time, because the days are evil, because the days are sinful. The average child, dear congregation, in North America today will spend more time by the time he is 6 years old in front of a screen than he will having fruitful discussions with his father in his entire lifetime. So many of these devices can be time wasters. Our time is so incredibly short here. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that the Bible says that our life is like a vapor, like a cloud that comes and disappears. It's like a poof in the sky. You look 1 second, it's there, and the next second it's gone. It's like a hand breath, the Bible says. That's not the width that way, it's the width that way. That's how small and slight the time that we have here below is. That's why we are to make the most of it. That's why we are not to waste it. I would commend to you Dr. John Piper's book that is well worth reading. Many years ago, I believe it's already in the 1960s, he wrote a well-known book called Don't Waste Your Life. Gives it away to anyone who wants a copy of it. You can get them free anywhere. And he wrote that, and so many promote that because so many people do waste their lives. We just fritter away our time and fritter away our lives. William Bennett, who is the Secretary of Education under President Bush, he notes particularly about men. Not that I'm picking on men, but particularly about men. He writes this, and I quote, in 1950, 5% of men at the prime working age were unemployed. As of 2005, he writes, 20% were not working. And he goes on to write, man's response has been pathetic. Today, 18 to 34-year-old men spend more time playing video games a day than 12 to 17-year-olds. End of quote. And that's just one segment of the population he's writing about. Someone once wisely said, the easiest way to find more time to do all the things you need to do is to turn off all the monitors in your home. And another wisely added, one of the great dangers of the misuse of television and internet and similar media lies not only in the behavior it produces, but more so in the behavior that it prevents. The talks, the games, the family activities, the interaction through which much of the child's learning takes place. God has given us time, congregation, as a gift. And ask yourself, on an average day and in an average week, how much of our time do we spend in an unholy way engaged in with the technology of the day? There's a great danger. I think anyone who's thinking even half clearly has to admit there's a great, great danger in just wasting time with much of the devices that we have today. And then, secondly, there's the great danger in that much of media and technology, it shapes our thinking for the good and for the bad. What we hear, congregation, affects us, doesn't it? Think of it. Just in practical ways, what we hear affects us. Think of the music, dear adults. Think of the music that you listened to as a teenager. Maybe that was psalters. Maybe that was hymns. They come back to us, don't they? Very easily and very quickly. But maybe that was some music that you're rather ashamed that you listened to in your day. And even today, when you walk into a store, when you walk into an environment and you hear that music, your foot almost starts tapping along with the beat and with the rhythm. Because these things, they just don't go out of the mind. Our mind has captured them. And they stay with us. And that's only what we hear. And studies show that what we see along with what we hear affects us 14 times more than audio alone. 14 times more. And so visual media and technology affects us more than probably we care to admit. And the principle is, congregation, what goes in affects what goes on in the inside. And we readily admit that, don't we, for things like the food that we eat. We say, you are what you eat. And so, when we're thinking rightly, we try to eat healthily. That's true for what we hear at church. It forms the way we think. It's true for the education of our youth. But it's also true for all of us at all ages and all levels of the media and the technology that we take in with our eyes and with our ears. It shapes our thinking. And let us not ever be so ignorant as to think that somehow the powers of darkness has nothing to do with us. Many years ago already, John Bunyan, he wrote his well-known book, didn't he? And he talked about the Christian being taken by eye gate and by ear gate. And his soul was seeking to be recaptured. Well, that's going on still today. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed, be not shaped to this world, the sinful world that is, but be transformed. That's be changed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Put good in your mind so that you can give proof to what is the acceptable will of God. And especially, dear congregation, especially to young children, who are so young and moldable in their young years and who are like sponges, just soaking everything in their young years. We have to acknowledge that media and technology shapes our thinking. And so there are real dangers, very real dangers and challenges of the misuse of media and technology. Indeed, congregation, today's electronic media and technology is like a knife. It can do a lot of good in the right hands, but it can also do great damage when it's misused. And that's only on the moral level. Even secular sources acknowledge the digital revolution can lead to things like childhood obesity and the inability to concentrate and the loss of interpersonal skills and even increased depression. And so those things are very real and concerning as well, ought to be, as we seek to live balanced lives. But it's especially the moral and the spiritual dimension that we as a Christian body ought to be concerned about, that we as Christian parents ought to be concerned about, that we ought to be concerned about this knife and its misuse. But we also, on the flip side, ought to be concerned and interested in learning to use this knife rightly and properly. But we'll consider that, how to do that, in a few different ways after we first sing together from Psalter 110, verses 1 and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore. And what follows, 110, 1 and 3. As parents, dear congregation, we ought to be concerned about ourselves. We ought to be concerned about the Lord's honor. We ought to be concerned about our children's spiritual and moral health. And indeed, if we are, we ought to look to the Word of God for guidelines of how to properly and rightly use digital technology. In closing this morning, I want to give you three basic areas that will get us more towards a biblical solution and ground our feet more squarely, I believe, upon Scripture as we seek to navigate through these challenging and changing tides as well. And once again, I would recommend to you Dr. Murray's DVD, and that which you can download on the internet as well. And he lays out a very clear and very helpful 7-step program that can help us and assist us to navigate these matters as well. The first one I lay before you is the matter of education. Education. In regards to technology, sometimes, especially the older 30 and 40 generation and upward and onward, we just hold our heads and we say, ay, 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 I can't make sense of it all. It's difficult. I'll let somebody else figure that out. Well, congregation, this is the generation in which God has providentially set us in history. And we can't afford to be ignorant. We have to educate ourselves. And there's even websites on the internet that can assist us to understand more about technology. Just type them in and you'll readily find them. We can't hide our head in the sand like an ostrich thinking, well, this too will pass, and hoping one day it all just goes away. We have to educate ourselves, and then we have to sit down with the next generation too, and we have to educate them as well. We have to sit down with children and talk about the internet and talk about technology and talk about these things, and we have to explain indeed that these things are like a jungle. The internet, for example, is like a jungle. It can be very exciting to walk through the jungle, but just like going through the jungle, there's many dangers lurking out there. And we have to be careful for that which can jump out and pounce upon us. Predators like sex and pornography and lies that people tell all over the internet that simply aren't true. I'm still just constantly amazed at people, and they say, well, I read it online. As if somehow that's got to make it true. Well, congregation, there's millions of books that are written that aren't true, and there's information on the internet that is so untrue, is filled with lies. Just because it's in print somehow and on a screen doesn't make these things true. And so we have to learn to be discerning what's true and what's not true. And the way to do that, of course, is to be familiar with truth itself. And that is Christ and His book of truth, that is the Word of God, so that when we do find that which is false, we will be able to more readily identify it. We have to teach our children these things. We have to teach them how indeed that the misuse of technology can be a tremendous waste of our God-given precious time. Hosea, many years before, he already said in Hosea 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Think how many times in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes that Solomon exhorts his son and his readers, be wise and get understanding. And that's for all of life, congregation. Be wise and get understanding. We can't afford to be ignorant. Also, in regards to technology, as challenging as that may be, we have to educate ourselves. And we have to educate our children. That is, if we care for their souls. Secondly, we have to put up fences. We have to put up fences. And we have fences, don't we? Sometimes we don't think of them as a fence, but we have fences on our computers, for example. We have a fence that we call antivirus that keeps us from getting viruses into a computer. We have another fence called a firewall that keeps others from getting things out of our computers. But what about other fences? Are we just happy having those few fences on our computers and our devices because we're worried about the device itself and how much it's going to cost me to replace it or to get it repaired? Is that the extent of our concern, congregation, regarding these things? If it is, it's a sad situation. Let me lay before you several fences that we ought to put up. Number one, we ought to put up a fence around our heart. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 tells us, keep thy heart, preserve thy heart, fence thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is where the fence begins. We have to pray, Lord, keep me from wasting my time. Keep me from misusing this technology. Keep me, preserve me. Help me, O Lord, assist me. Because we can have 100 concentric rings of fences in whatever form, electronic or whatever forms those may be, congregation. But if our heart is not fenced, they will all be in vain. So we have to pray, Lord, preserve me. Lord, keep me. Keep my heart. My son, Solomon writes, give me your heart. Fence your heart. Secondly, we have to have a fence or a filter on our devices. Particularly, in a very practical way, speak about the use of internet. And we have an internet provider. I commend you very strongly to buy filtered service that's filtered at the server. I believe that's one of the most healthy ways and readily available around here, but I realize that in some areas you simply can't buy the filtered service. Well, then you need software as a filter installed on your computer. There's many different types out there, Christian companies also that provide it. And also, not just on our home computers, congregation. Of course, we live now in an age where you can walk around with the internet in your pocket. And it's been just a little slow with the coverage for these things, but also on handheld devices that can get the web in devices in your pocket. You have to have filters on these as well. And they are available. Search for them, and you can find them. Speak to somebody in the know, in our church too, who indeed will be able to assist you on these things. And then two, for things you may watch in your home, for DVDs and so forth. There are devices out there which are readily available that can help screen when sometimes things come into the home that we just don't know what's on them. They can help screen. And, of course, always keep in mind that we ought to have our heart fenced. If something offensive comes on, well, then we ought to just take it out and not watch it. So set a fence or a filter for internet use and for other devices as well. And then set a fence for time limits for the internet and for social networks. And those types of things. Good habits are good things to develop, congregation. And habits continue with us quite often up into our adult years. We understand that in a very practical way, don't we? We talk about that when children brush their teeth, for example, and eat their food. Well, we say develop good habits. But are we seeking in a positive way also for their spiritual and their moral health? Are we more concerned about their teeth and about their physical statures than we are about their spiritual statures and their moral health? Are we concerned that they develop good and positive and godly habits? Well, we can do that in a very practical way by setting time limits, especially for young children. And then two, it is helpful to have the fence of an accountability partner in regards to the devices that we have and that we use so quickly, so easily rather. Husbands and wives make good accountability partners to one another. Parents and children, friends and friends. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9 says, two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. You see, accountability in the according to the Bible congregation, is not for beating one another up. Accountability is for helping one another out when we fall. And so, we are there as accountability partners to one another. Say, well, you're spending too much time on Facebook, or you're spending too much time on this or on that, or misusing this or that device. Accountability partners is a helpful fence as well. And then finally and lastly, we ought to model for one another, as parents to children, as friends to friends, a good and a positive way to use technology as well. If our Christianity congregation is real, it ought to impact every area of our lives, technology included. The Apostle Paul, he said to the Philippians, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. Do. Practice it. And the God of peace shall be with you. Example is our most powerful tool. Just reading this week in research for this message today about one man who had been struggling with the misuse of his screen. And the very screen, indeed, that he used to read his daily devotions on was the exact same screen that he was misusing in a terrible way. And so to visibly remind him how wrong this was, he put up the Bible text on the edge of his screen from the book of James that says, does a fountain bring both sweet and bitter water? My brother, these things ought not so to be. He says that assisted him along with all the other fences that he set up. You see, we have to set up good and positive examples as we use these devices. And we may consider all this, dear congregation, and say, who is sufficient unto these things? The Apostle Paul asked that question too. And he also said, almost in the same breath, but our sufficiency is of the Lord. We go to the Lord. We go to His Word. We go to His grace. We go to His Son, His blood, to cleanse us from all our sins and to keep us from sinning and stumbling. We assist one another in this as well. And we set proper fences and we educate ourselves and we do things in a proper biblical way. We seek to in the area of technology as well. Dear congregation, we live in an ever-changing world. We live in a world where sin is so readily available. And we have devices that assist us, that we can drink in sin like water and express the sin that's in our heart in an increasingly shameless way. And that's sad. And that's grieving. And it ought to be for every single Christian. But we ought to be encouraged that the God who lived in Old Testament and New Testament time still lives today. His grace is sufficient in these areas as well. And finally, I would exhort you to this. If you just can't handle and can't find a way for the proper use of the internet, or cell phone, or Facebook, or whatever that may be, maybe that particular area, you have to toss it. You have to cut it off. You have to pull the wire. You have to do whatever. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee. And if one of thy members should perish, that thy whole body should be cast into hell. What was Christ speaking about there? He was speaking about the radical amputation of sin. Don't just play with it. Get rid of it altogether. Cast it from thee. See, to be a reformed church congregation and to be a reformed church member is to seek to use technology wisely. And it is to say, with the psalmist in Psalm 101 as well, I will behave myself wisely in an upright way. I will walk within my house with an upright heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen. Lord God, give us wisdom. Give us grace. Give us conviction to do which we know is best for thy glory and for our spiritual and moral welfare. Lord, we pray for grace and help to cut out of our lives that which is dishonoring to thee and to thy cause and to thy name. And that we may, in an ever increasingly digital technology society, use devices in a way that promotes thy name and would give us encouragement and guidance in our hearts. Lord, help us not to follow our hearts, but help us to follow thy heart. And all this we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.